These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
It's a pivot for us all. It's a Jeremy pivot for us all.
I mean, yeah, and much like Jeremy Piven, this will be a day that will live in infamy.
Oh my God. It's like, and what Lauren's referring to is when Jeremy Piven, air quotes, ate too much sushi
and had to cancel
yeah.
his Broadway show.
Right. So if you don't know what's happening, we just got word via internet.
I can't believe it.
Tamara Judge left the trip, the girls' trip on OC, left and is saying that she's quitting the show, that she has quit the show. Andy commented and said that he doesn't really know what's happening, but he can't talk about what's going on while they're filming. He said it might have something to do with Teddy being sick. So what the fuck is going on?
That was my first thought, that it had to do with Teddy.
Teddy.
Yeah.
Being sick. Yeah. Which is really sad. But something happened because it was dramatic enough for her to leave, you know, an all expense paid trip.
Here's kind of what I think. So I think, first of all, she's like, well, Shannon gets to leave stuff all the time. So like, why can't I leave too? And then I think this is a time when Andy will forgive me because of what's going on with Teddy. So I think maybe this is denial. Maybe this is like, I'm in the first stage of grief. But I truly believe she will be back. Oh, yes.
She's just, we can't, listen, as hard as it was to watch her last season, I can't lose Tamara. I know she's got one more season in her for us.
I know, because like, you know, bad showing. Obviously very bad showing this past season. But I'm like, you know, she's one of the goats. Like if New York is still like, you know, like, delivering some of her best performances ever.
Right.
I mean, another iconic, you know, villain who changed
the blueprint.
She started the game, the blueprint. And if Anthony Hopkins won an Oscar at 81 for the best work of his career in The Father, then Tamara can adjust to the new meta realities of reality TV.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good theory because Shannon does get to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's because they don't have problems with Shannon leaving because she is like squawking and she is like asking everybody to give her like a colonic. So it probably is best if she removes herself and everybody else from that situation.
Right. Well, like with Shannon, it's like her drama is almost all internal. It's with herself. So she can do it anywhere. She can do it alone. But Tamara is the instigator and she's, you know, she plays offense, you know? And so when she removes herself, it's like, you know.
And when she removes herself, we as the audience are like, what do we do?
What do we do?
We have to remove ourselves. You know, I have to look outside of myself and think, God, what's going to happen this season on OC?
I know. But if Tamara...
But Gretchen's there. We have but how can we have Gretchen and not Tamara? It's so sick.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
I'm concerned.
Like, now with all of Gretchen's crimes against, you know, Photoshop and Facetune, it's like now we need Tamara to nail her to the cross more than ever before.
Okay, this might need to be cut because it's a little dark side, but do you think that maybe she talked about like Jeff or something and that triggered Tamara?
No, that wouldn't be enough for Tamara to leave.
Okay.
I think Tamara has finally left Bass Lake behind her.
But I haven't.
But I never will. Emotionally, I'm always at Bass
Lake. I'm always in Bass Lake. Much like Karen Huger is always in Surrey County, and Surrey County is wherever she is. Bass Lake is wherever I am.
Bass Lake is Camelot to me.
I am Bass Lake.
I am
Bass Lake meme.
And if we made t-shirts with that, would you guys buy them?
Do you guys know where Bass Lake is? It's supposed to be somewhere in Texas where Lauren and I both live, and I've never heard of it.
Except on
a show with girls from California.
It's, I guess, a popular spring break destination for Californians.
Oh.
Well, because they were all there.
Well, not, but really, what I thought it would be like Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
Right. We're at Vicky's other home.
Well, I guess that's why, you know, why Gretchen purportedly went there with her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Was, you know.
She was getting bassed.
Escape it all. She got bassed hard.
We got bassed.
Allegedly.
None of my bass.
Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Hola, Pepinos.
Hola. Hola to these cucumber subreddit.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks for not blocking that
post. Yeah. We really appreciate all of
the hard work.
Hard work you've done. Yeah.
Even though they're like, these girls are applauding and think these people are stars. And lots of comments on how she's, Gloria has like a Argentinian accent. She's not European and we shouldn't applaud any of her behavior, which on the record, we don't.
We're laughing at her.
We're laughing behavior. At her and her ridiculousness. But she can be ridiculous and entertaining, and we don't condone most of her behaviors.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you are going to get mad about us doing a podcast where we're not, like, steaming mad the whole time.
Argentinian.
Then, like, this is not the one for you. We want right, to, we babe. Already hate to hate so many politicians. We want to love to hate our reality stars. We want right. to relish and delight in it. So come for the delights, you
come
know.
Come for the delight. Stay for the cucumber. Stay for the gazpacho. Listen, the one time we went after a reality TV star, we were blocked really early in our illustrious podcasting careers, and we're still blocked. And it doesn't feel good to be blocked by a F-list reality star.
Right, right. All this to say, don't tag her. Don't tag
Alex. Don't tag Hilaria. Don't tag Alex. If you need to tag Ireland, do
that's fine.
That's yeah. fine. Yeah.
Alex
this is like
care.
This is a great podcast for new mothers.
Yeah. Much yeah. Relatable.
Relatable postpartum.
Okay, so this is going to be part two of our Hilaria content. We started with recapping kind of her origin story, how she came to become
our super villain.
And yeah, a super villain. Also how she and Alik met. And we also recapped episode one of her new reality series, The Baldwins. And this episode we'll be starting at their Spanish style wedding to honor her culture and kind of bring us up to date. And then we'll be recapping episode two, which we watched together. And it was another fever dream.
It was a fever dream and our melange. Husbands were there for the ride.
Yes.
And then they just kept talking about other things.
Yeah. As husbands want to do. They're just like Alec.
They're just you know, like gosh, Alec.
Thank God they're not.
They're wiping down furiously wiping trash cans, which is actually right. happening up.
Right. They're so OCD the way that they don't want to trip over a bicycle in the middle of their kitchen.
Oh, the bike should go over here against a wall. He's not well.
He's changed.
So different.
So let's get into the wedding.
The engagement.
Okay.
It's just my favorite story of them.
Okay.
Where they got, okay, so they got engaged in the Hamptons and she gave an interview saying that he proposed in the Hamptons because it was the closest to Spain he could get.
They got married in St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Mm.
And Hilaria donned a long white veil with lace embroidering the crown of her head, reminiscent of a mantilla. A traditional Spanish lace worn over the head and shoulders. She walked down the aisle to Ave Maria, explaining it is one of her favorite Spanish language songs, although the song is Latin. She later told People magazine, I like that I brought in a little bit of my culture.
Right.
During their vows, Hilaria was seen fanning herself with a flamenco hand fan. And the couple exchanged wedding bands that had the inscription, Somos un buen equipo, meaning, I apologize for, I'm trying to do her accent justice.
Which it's is not that I'm European, it is Argentinian, if you, right. That's what Lauren's doing.
And that means we are a good team in English. They had their first dance to Contigo by Luis Miguel. And later that year, Hilaria spoke with Vanity Fair España, describing her marital bliss and dropped an anecdote about how her family couldn't understand how to pronounce her new last name, Baldwin. The translated article reads, for now, she confesses, she has enough with learning to spell her new last name. I had to repeat it to my family three times, Baldwin. And the third time they said, we already know who it is. Why didn't you pronounce it right the first time?
So her
mother, the Bostonian professor of medicine, was like, he Baldwin. Can't
I mean, it's like, you know, you got to learn how to sound it out, babe, at this point.
Yeah. And this is when the grift starts to go hard and she really starts to kind of hide her family away, shame. Her mom and dad, because, yeah, well, that, yeah, that is her, her secret shame. Distance herself from them because they are, you know, they don't have accents.
They don't have accents. They, you know, maybe don't want to be in on an international ruse regarding their ethnicity, which is valid.
Valid.
You know, yeah, all feelings are valid here. You know, feel your feelings.
So then in 2012, after they were married, Ilaria became a lifestyle correspondent for the entertainment show Extra. And this is from Wikipedia. We've always got to get the Wikipedia shade. I know Papapino added this stuff. The New York Times wrote that Baldwin obtained that position because Alec was a friend of Steve Sunshine, a producer for the show. In 2014, she shared a daytime Emmy for Outstanding Entertainment News Program with her Extra colleagues. The year before that, she released an exercise DVD titled At Home with Ilaria Baldwin, Fit Mommy to Be Prenatal Yoga. And Alec appears during a 5-minute bonus section.
Wow.
And then in 2015, Ilaria wrote the book The Living Clearly Method, which was, released in 2016 and was Michelle's gift to me on my 35th birthday.
Right.
And more shade from Wikipedia, when the book was released, Baldwin started an associated website under the same name to promote it. It's like, that's not even like, why? You, I mean, whatever.
You know what?
But I love the why.
We don't need the why. Who cares?
It's just not nearly as damning as the other stuff. Like
exactly.
Her ethnicity.
This is great. This is great business. These are boss babe moves.
All right. Okay. So trigger warning. This is her book is a lot like Bethany's book that we've talked about on the podcast, where it claims to be like her experience healing from eating disorders.
From eating. Right.
And you can heal too if you eat this way. And it's like, it's a, you know, it's kind of gross to speculate if women have eating disorders or not, you know, like it's, or, you know, based on their bodies and stuff. But I think not when they are selling you recovery from an eating disorder while advertising orthorexia and exercise addiction, which is basically what the book is saying.
And that's what I got Lauren for her birthday. And Lauren is in recovery for eating disorder.
Well, I did learn a lot. First of all, so many pictures of her like dressed in leather stiletto boots, leather pants, posed like a gargoyle, squatted on a building. Like it's all yoga poses.
Yeah, I thought I was getting you a yoga book. I didn't think I was getting you a book on
a how-to
restriction. How to on restriction.
No, I mean, it is hilarious. My mom, like she saw it, she was like, who's that lady who's that lady in all those wigs?
Yeah, Lauren took it to the beach. It was just, it's like a large coffee table.
Yeah, but it's a good beach read.
It's a good beach read. And she, it's like a textbook and Lauren lost it.
It's at the beach. It's still at my parents' house.
How did you forget it?
Because that's, I think that's where it wants to live. Mm. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's
the
a
sunshine.
Free spirit.
Close, yes, right. Yeah, very East Coast. It's close to Ilaria, her mother.
Right, right. Closer to España.
Closer to España.
So, yeah, so it's like a lot, pretty much like a catalog of pictures of her doing yoga in inappropriate places. And then like some of her, you know, tips and, you know,
tips,
exaggerations. Yeah, like she claims she was, this could be possible, but she claims she was so sick with her eating disorder when opening Yoga Vita, she was in a wheelchair. Possible. I mean, definitely possible, but
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
like,
it happens,
how is she teaching,
you know,
all of those five classes a week? From
yeah, if your blood pressure's probably getting low.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff, you know.
Potsy. Yeah.
Yeah. She can
We're
not saying she has POTS. We don't think that she does.
So then some of the anecdotes I remember are like she just noticed that her body feels better now that she, like, you know, has recovered from her eating disorder. Her body feels better when she treats it right. Like, if I had something really unhealthy for a midday snack, like a couple of handfuls of popcorn, of course I'm gonna feel like shit later. Or if, you know, I had that second cup of coffee in the morning with almond milk, like of course my sugars and adrenaline are gonna be spiking. It's like very like, and then like that she does also that she doesn't let her kids have like on their like they're
right.
basically have they're on the same diet, but they have like a cheat day where they get to eat popcorn and like anything they want, and the rest of the time it's like they're eating as healthy as she is, which we'll see later in the recap.
Right.
So yeah, she also has a truly psychotic get ready with me Vanity Fair video, part of that series, where she packs the kids' lunches by lovingly spreading a tablespoon of hummus on a tortilla and folding it into like a broken, squished like rectangle.
It's just like, authentica.
All packs. And all of the comments are like, I hope that the nanny repacked the lunch afterwards.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Now I remember something.
Okay.
This is a real pop culture memory.
Okay.
Early days of Dumois, there was a blind item. Or actually, I don't even think it was a blind item. She just said that, like, one of the Sunday spotted is what it was. But Alec Baldwin, because, like, Ilaria, like, they're all, like, strict vegan in the house. Like, he would always go to the same, like, pub or like restaurant in New York and get like cheeseburger, fries, beer, pizza, like all of the things, like all of the meat, all of the cheese.
Beer? He's a recovered alcoholic.
Okay, well, maybe not beer, but okay. It was like, he was just went to a pub because he was like, I need food, like meat and cheese and bread and not, and he would go there like almost every single day.
There are rumors around that too.
Yeah,
though,
which is fine.
The drinking.
Just take the thing about the beer out. But I think.
Well, no, I'm saying there are rumors around that, too.
Right. The rumors and the nastiness. I'm not saying that he was drinking, but I will say that he was eating
meat
a cheeseburger.
Bread.
Right.
Yeah.
He was eating bread. And that was it. Yeah. He ate bread.
That's the worst crime, I think, to her more than meat.
Behind his wife's back.
Yeah.
Not a good guy.
That's why Alec Baldwin is not a good guy.
This is, I can't really think of another situation where this is probably the most questionable thing he's done.
Perfect record other than that. So basically, like, Ilaria, she's becoming also, on top of all of these other ventures, a major mommy influencer. She
right.
has tons of sponsorships.
Podcast.
She's got a podcast with in 2018 with Daphne Oz called Mommy Brain. And she has, you know, she pops out 6 kids in like 48 years.
Hours, I think.
Yes, like someone did a timeline and it's like she was maybe of the past like 12, you know, 2013 to 2022 when she had her last kid, she was maybe not pregnant like a little under right. 2 years of right. that. The rest of the time
right.
she was pregnant.
Right.
And especially her thing is after each baby, her body bounces back even quicker. And so she shows you
really
exercises.
Dangerous. Well, yeah. even when she's pregnant.
Yes,
She's upside down, which is like, you know, everybody's body is different. Everybody's body is beautiful while pregnant, and our bodies are capable of a lot. I do feel like it's a little dangerous to sort of just be, especially when you have a platform and you have a lot of people following you. It kind of is really dangerous to do some of the things that she was doing while pregnant. You could really hurt yourself. You don't want to do that. Your body is not in a place where you're balanced evenly, so...
Yeah.
Like, don't stand on your head, you guys, when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Or you know, do intensive hot yoga.
Right.
Or
that's
horseback
really
riding.
Insane. Like, don't do that stuff. Do what Alec does. Go eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Word.
Go eat bread.
And also just like, you know, I've done a bit of yoga and her form is terrible. I think it's because she's trying to like invent new ways to do
to
it.
Show that her she boo-boos.
Can, yeah. That like are provocative, but also that she can brand as her own. So she just basically does like, you know, low intensity Pilates stuff, but she does it a little weird and wrong, you know, or it's
we love a thirst trap. We love a thirst trap yoga move.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now she
that's
really
what she's
gets
doing.
Flamed
she's
for
like,
them.
She's like, yeah, she's like, listen, I don't really care. Post as many thirst traps as you want. I mean,
but don't
I
say
don't
you can
a
have a body
that.
Like mine, you know,
you can
after
have a
pregnancy.
Body like mine.
If you just do this, you know, 1,000 times a day after, you know, like during all of your free time while you're watching your 7 kids compulsively exercising these low intensity, which like
right,
even if you didn't, you wouldn't. But also
even,
that's exercise addiction, you know.
It is. And it's not safe. And it's just, you know, comparison is thief of joy, you guys.
Right.
And I don't want to, I'm like definitely not going to speculate about any surgery or anything that she's had done.
Oh, she had a boob job. I mean,
we don't want to speculate.
But she absolutely had a boob job.
Her boobs are not real. Her boobs are as real as her accent.
Yes, we'll just say that.
We'll just say that.
Make of that what you will. And she claims that she won't give up the ghost on that either. You really do have to admire her like commitment to going
commitment
down with the
to
ship.
The bit.
Yeah, because she's like, nope. From nursing and swimming, I just got these
nursing
these
and swimming
really tight, hard, beautiful tits
right.
from
They're
nursing
like on
and swimming
her chin.
You know how swimmers have those giant jugs from all the swimming
they
do?
That's what they're known for. That's right. What they call a breaststroke, baby.
Okay. All of this to say, you know, people are growing annoyed, like, right. Because it's like, it does in some ways feel like less like aspirational and mm-hmm. more like shaming. She's always bragging about how easy breastfeeding is for her, how easy it is to take care of like all
how
these kids, even though it's crazy.
Is like yeah. how healthy she still eats her entire pregnancy. She doesn't get sick. And by the way, she can be pregnant and not sick and exercising and still be taking care of like 18 kids. And
right, and she's still super thin.
Right, an like, undetermined amount of pets, as we learned in the last episode, doesn't right. know how many pets she has.
No way to say. And then her body pretty much bounces back, you know, faster and faster each time. She's in a bikini faster and faster after every pregnancy. And it's starting to, you know, people are starting to notice that it's seeming more like negative, I guess, than it right. is positive for
this
many
women.
This
is not aspirational anymore. This is like just annoying.
But so this there is
tone deaf.
There is maybe another reason behind this kind of pathological having the kids body bouncing back. And Alec Baldwin actually wrote his own memoir called Nevertheless. And this is a passage about his mother, trigger warning, virulent misogyny. So the woman he calls his mother, you know, the woman, believing it had magic weight loss potential, drank rivers of Tab. If slimming was her goal, it had no effect. Which, like, by the way, everybody thought Ew. Tab was diet soda back in the 80s. Like, don't blow her up for that.
Also,
jeez
like,
Louise.
I think it just came back.
Oh, it did?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, it always sounded so good in, like, 70s children's books I read. Like,
oh my God. Well, we'll get into your drinking habits, like what you did at my house yesterday. Okay, I'll just tell you everybody. Lauren, I made tomato soup. Lauren ate the soup. And then I was like, what do you want to drink? I was like, we have Diet Coke. We have seltzer. We have V8, like the tomato juice. She chose the tomato juice. So she drank tomato juice and ate tomato soup.
Love salty liquid.
But she also had the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
No that water.
I mean, like, low-key, that is, like, a, you know, not to blow up my own spot, but that is common in, like, a lot of, like, former bulimics in recovery mm-hmm. is we love salty drinks.
We love
drinks.
Salty drinks.
We love it. So yeah. filling, so delicious.
It's like
but,
a
you
meal.
Know, I still ate and then ate she the did salty eat. Drink, too. I still have a taste for it, you know. So then back to this. If slimming was her goal, it had no effect. Each successive choice to have 6 kids in 11 years left her body wrecked. From the bottom of her rib cage to the top of her pelvis, every muscular fiber was gone. When she coughed or laughed, her stomach beneath her sheet bedclothes seemed to ripple like water. Why did she never go outside? She was alone in her tiny apartment with 6 kids and no help. Back then, you controlled your kids, perhaps told them you love them, though get through giving them sweets. Today, love means withholding them much of that. Isn't that so pathological, my dude?
Oh my
like,
God,
doesn't that kind of say it all?
I'm so wet. Oh my God. Wow. You know, I'm a little surprised to find out that he could say such horrible things about a woman.
Right. Doesn't track with the rest of his behavior that it had a starting
he's not
point.
Well, bitch.
But like, doesn't it really make sense? Because at first I was like,
well, how he feels know? About women. I mean, if this is how you feel about your mom.
Oh, of
this
course.
Is your gripe with your mother. This is your gripe with your mom.
But then it's like, one. You know, when you watch them, you're like, why didn't he leave when Ilaria kept wanting more and more,
more
kids?
More
and,
kids.
It's because it's like, it's psychologically somehow gratifying to him because he's
because
like, this
he's
is
like,
what
my
mom could have done.
Do. Yeah. She couldn't do it. And this woman can. And yeah. she looks amazing and she's young and her stomach isn't falling apart every time she pees.
Right. Which is like all he. So this is super disgusting, too. In his book, he wrote. So when they offered him the part in It's Complicated, the Nancy mm-hmm. Meyers movie with Meryl Streep, where he plays the ex-husband, he initially said no. An opportunity. His first film in a long time, especially like kind of with a all-star cast. He gets mm-hmm. to act opposite Meryl Streep
right.
and Steve Martin. And he was like, no, because. You know, she's 8 years older than me, so no one's going to believe that I'd be sexually attracted to her. They had to pursue him repeatedly for him to finally say yes. Nope, strains too much credulity that I could be attracted to the gorgeous Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah, like a woman 8 years older than me. Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, but he's a great comedic actor.
And that's what really matters.
It's it's a promise of America's entertainers.
Right. But it does make sense where it's like, oh, this is what she's not. Hilaria's selling this idea not only to like mothers, like this is what's expected to be like me, but also to Alec. You know, right. I think it's part of what, you know, even though there's, you know, they are in kind of a kid menagerie hell of their own making. It's like, oh, this is kind of like weird psychological ways they're toying.
He can finally heal.
Right.
It took him 65 years.
Yeah. He just needed to see.
Finally heal.
He needed to see a lady have six kids and still be a smoking hot babe with a tight snatch. And that's going to make him like women now. That's all.
And also because like she's posting all of that on the internet and people are probably leaving all kinds of messages to her. And he's like, and she's mine.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a lot of it too.
That's mine.
Yeah. So this brings us to another theory. No. Well, it's just another theory. Which is the reason that the Hilaria sub gets lots of shit. It's very polarizing, even within the sub. Some people think that it's pretty wacky. But we will tell you about it because I do think it is absolutely true. No, I don't know. But the theory is that Hilaria had Carmen in 2013. She gave birth to her. You can see she like gains a little bit of weight more than she did in her other pregnancies. Still a very thin woman, thin woman, you know, who is pregnant. And then the theory is that some or all of her other pregnancies were through surrogate while she wore a prosthetic belly in public. So it's kind of hard to tell this case like with like audio. It's more like of a visual thing, and obviously this is not something that's right to like out someone about or speculate about, like we learned with Adrienne Maloof when she wore a fake belly, a moon bump during her pregnancies and secretly had her kids through surrogacy, and Brandy outed her on TV. But because Hilaria's livelihood was selling this idea of like, you know, I have all these kids and then I get really skinny and, you know, I breastfeed them all and it's all so easy. That's why I think people are particularly interested, I guess. With that.
Yeah, how is she doing that? Because she doesn't even have loose skin after each pregnancy, and she can't be getting surgery on your, you can't be getting surgery on your skin every single time. So like, she that's like really hard to get away with, especially that number of kids, no loose skin, like no stretch marks. Like, you are either like insanely genetically gifted or, you know, and she could be. I mean, she could just be this like really, like, I don't want to you know, especially if there's like, I don't know if there's fertility issues, like, and I don't even want to like speculate on that. That sucks, if, you know, whatever it is. What we're trying to say is like, it's not feasible what she's been trying to sell.
She's a medical marvel. Yeah.
She's a medical marvel. And we marvel at that.
Right. And she did, I think this theory is further buoyed by, she did admit that, so she had, you know, a son, and then 6 months later she had a daughter, another daughter. And so then she had admitted like, oh, she didn't say surrogate because I think surrogacy was illegal in New York at the time. I don't know if they went out of state or what. She's never said that word, but that like she did not carry her second daughter.
She did say that, but she would never confirm that she had a surrogate. She wouldn't talk about it. She was just like, you know, but she would still breastfeed them.
Yes. And she calls those two the twins. So the twins. Part of the, you know, belly gate theory is that both were babies carried by surrogates, but then when one was a boy, this was their third boy and they really wanted another girl, so they went ahead with that pregnancy and then also hired another surrogate.
Right.
And then she ended up getting pregnant faster than they thought.
Yeah.
So all of this is also important because it is what leads to Hilaria and Alec's downfall, what they call in the Hilaria Baldwin sub, griftmas, because it happened during pandemic when you know, people really
all
got into
eyes
the
on
research
social media.
All eyes on social media, baby.
Yeah.
So Alec had said in the press that he kind of wanted to stop working all the time, especially like he'd just been busting his ass on 30 Rock before.
Right.
You know, and so then he was pretty much just playing Trump, and then he wanted Hilaria on SNL, and he wanted Hilaria to be the main breadwinner.
Yeah, the influencer extraordinaire. She had the podcast. She had a lot of heat. She had a lot of buzz.
She was making bank.
She had a lot of sponsorships.
Lots of partially nude photos, yeah, holding children's products.
She had her book. Like, she had a lot of stuff going on. And, she just, like, she was boss babying.
She was boss baby.
Boss babying.
Until comedian Amy Schumer posted a picture December 20th-ish. Parodying a recent photo of Ilaria's where she's in lingerie in the mirror holding her baby, fully bounced back, you know, from her pregnancy. Amy is also postpartum, and she takes a picture with her baby. Obviously, like, you know, she's Amy Schumer, but, like, is not Ilaria's. She's, you know, looks more like
a normal
her audience. Yeah. And, like, this is not new, you know, territory. Like, there's a really famous Australian influencer. I think her name is like Cecilia or something, but she only does like reenacting sexy or glamorous content, but while looking more like her typical audience, you know. It's really like, you know, a little bit like, oh, isn't like, aren't these ideals silly? But mostly it's like self-deprecating, you know. So Ilaria replies in a video and she says, I want to talk about what happened with Amy Schumer. She just posted a picture of me with this cream that I made that I was so excited about. I always post pictures like this. Didn't think it would be a big deal. And I love jokes. Jokes are amazing. I even told one once, but y'all are body shaming me. You are talking about inclusivity, but I should be part of the inclusivity. Okay, that was the first time I felt nailed in to her. Yeah. I'm getting there.
Yeah. We need a dialect coach for the next episode. If anybody knows one.
So then at Lenny Briscoe, which is not actually
Lenny Burns
or Jeremy Orbach's character from Law and Order. But we actually have still unknown who this person is. But they tweet, you have to admire Ilaria Baldwin's commitment to her decades long grift of impersonating a Spanish woman. And as the kids say in 2018, the internet breaks.
The internet breaks. And it's not because we saw Kim Kardashian's nude ass in a magazine. Yeah, I had no idea. This was the first time I ever heard about it. And then I was hooked, baby.
Oh, yeah. So everything comes pouring
in. Put it in my veins.
Oh, so good. Such a fun day.
Going back and watching all of the interviews, watching her accent go in and out. The gazpacho, the cucumber of it all. I mean, it was just, especially in 2020 when you just didn't think. It was finally something, there was a lightness.
Right, yeah.
Finally, light feeling.
Yes, exactly. We can all feel a little better.
We can all feel a little bit better.
As we laugh at this woman's shame.
It's like shame. A Game of Thrones. Shame.
Yeah, this was her shame walk. And the most viral video, the most damning video was where she was doing a cooking segment and she pretended to forget the word cucumber. So like, cucumber. You know, after, you know, like she responds and she's like, yes, I'm a white girl, which like, you know, people from Spain.
Yes, I'm Hillary from Massachusetts. It's like, okay, girl.
But then she's like, but I like to, you know, basically the same deflecting. But I like to speak English. I like to speak Spanish. Acting like that's what people are mad about.
That's not what they're mad about, lady.
And then, the stuff that they are mad about really comes forward that she's been taking up space through, like, winning, like, Latina awards, covers of Hola magazine.
Yeah, like with all of her kids. All of her kids have Spanish names, which isn't really that. That's not the issue. The issue is the grifting. The issue is saying that she's Spanish origins. Like, you know, your parents are expats.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you went on vacation to Spain.
You are faking the accent.
Yeah. You didn't grow up in Spain. You don't have Spanish relatives. You have probably like ex-pilgrims.
Right. She does. She's descended like from the Mayflower. Yeah.
And like they're expats living in Spain. That's very different than, you know, being from like, you know, just you. It's not your ethnicity.
Right. And she's like, I'm a lot of things, but none of them are Spanish. Right. And even though she like, you know, tries to be like, I'm a white girl. Like, you know, you can be from Spain and be a white girl. There were many times that she implied that she was a person of color. There was a really famous video of her on Martin Luther King Day explaining to her daughter. About, you know, racism.
If you like, look at your, she literally tells her daughter, like, look at your skin color. Now look at mommy's skin color. Now people don't like mommy because of my skin color. This is literally what she did in the video, which was like, and her daughter is like, I think genuinely like horrified. She's like, I can't believe. And also just like, even if she's saying stuff to her daughter to like to post it and to, in that moment, like to like compare what she has been through to this, like what a young Black man has been through in this country, which are two very different things, very different experiences. And then to try to like impart that on her daughter is one of the more shocking, like, just like, I want to see her do it in a cooking video and I want to watch that. And I don't want to see her try to compare herself to the Black struggle in this country.
Oh yeah. It's repugnant, but you know, she might've gotten the idea from Alec, who when attacked by a photographer or attacked, like when there was a paparazzi when they were getting their wedding license, like attacked him and then compared himself to Trayvon Martin, which like
not good, but you know what, he did play a great Trump and it's all adding up now, baby.
I mean, they're both narcissists
and racist.
So sponsorships and followers and friends, hemorrhage,
mass exodus.
It's all falling apart and Alec has to go back to work
A
producer and star of a low budget western, cutting so many corners that even though there were many guns on set, they hired an armorer who had also had to be prop master to pay them a lower rate, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who had only worked on one job before and was the nepo baby daughter of a famous armorer. And she'd done a bad job on the job she was on before, but they were like, okay, well, this way we can save money. She'll be the prop master and the armorer. According to her, Alec did not attend the armory training, even though Reed tried multiple times to get him to attend. And she was repeatedly told by other people in production she needed to focus on props and less on her armory job or she would be replaced.
Right.
The union crew eventually walked out because of the way the set was run. There were reports later of live rounds being fired by the prop guns on set. And then tragically, Halina Hutchins was the cinematographer. Mm-hmm. She was a Ukrainian-American woman with, you know, a family that's still, I believe, in Eastern Europe. She was a really talented cinematographer. It's, you know, in a very male dominated field, and who like was still giving this production so much more like artist, like just caring so much and giving it so much artistic respect while being totally taken for granted and used by the production. So yeah, it's, you know, it's so tragic. So they're doing during a rehearsal of a scene where Alec would, he would pull across, what's it called? Across a pull? I don't know.
Is that like,
I don't know gun words.
Cross pull? I don't know anything about guns.
Yeah. Anyways, the prop master, Hannah Reed, she wanted to check the guns before the rehearsal. The producers were like, there wasn't time. Everything was super rushed. They were behind. Alec claims he checked the gun and then did the blocking, which was pulling the gun out and then aiming it towards in the direction of the camera, which was operated by Hutchins at the time. And it went off, killing Hutchins and wounding Joel Souza. But the evidence, the recording shows he did pull the trigger and Reed maintains he did not check the gun. The case went to trial. And sorry if I got all the details, any of the details wrong. First of all, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't stayed up to date with the case. I haven't, you know, been following it on Crime TV or anything. But it was a circus. It was a shit show. The prosecutor, Kari Morrissey, was basically incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
So Reed was also accused and she's still in jail. She went to jail for 18 months, but I think she's trying to file an appeal. And the judge dismissed the charges against Alec and he is now suing for malicious prosecution. So that kind of brings us up to where we are in the TV show, which
is crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. So crazy that here's the crazy thing. I know this is like a little darker than we usually go, but he's never even said like, I'm sorry. I guess that's like admitting guilt or whatever they always say, but like, he's never even been like, someone lost their life. It's very Erica Jane to me, where it's like, he only really feels sorry for himself.
Well,
you know,
his image and, you know, we'll get into it in the show.
It's
impacted his career.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't know. I like, honestly, like, you know, I don't know too much about, I've never been in a, like a film or commercial with an armorer. So I guess they do hold like some culpability, but really I think like also the buck fucking stops with production and they were intentionally manipulating this girl, you know,
right.
Like, I mean, she's probably a piece of shit too, but like they, you know, it's, I just think it's repugnant that they're completely getting off the hook. And I think that Halyna Hutchins' family is in a bad situation.
Like, I just don't get it. I don't,
what's
I don't
the
know,
point?
I don't know why there's real guns. I feel like they're such good prop guns. Like, I just don't even understand. Like,
I mean, I think that they're going to use them way less now, but like the thought at the time in the business was like, they still kind of look like shit. They still don't look as good as real guns.
I know, but it's also like, it wasn't like, I guess it's like in my head too. It's like, I don't think anybody was going to this movie because they would think it would be a good one.
No, it's like a B movie.
It's a prop gun. I don't get it. They don't even, you know, it's like, you know, that you have apple juice instead of whiskey on set. Like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's, you know, so Alec to me. He's just such a pretentious piece of shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we have to have real guns, but let's not. Yeah, let's not pay our union crew, but
exactly.
We do have to have, like, you know, real guns, and I'm not going to check them before because we're on a schedule, you know? It's just so sad. It's so needless. It's so, like, fucked up. It's so crazy that they released this movie at South by Southwest because they have to, because Hutchins, like, you know, her kid and her husband's settlement is tied up in the film, so it's still to be released. It's all just, like, an abomination.
Yeah, that's being released, and also South by Southwest. A Simple Favor too.
Yeah.
Things are getting real dark in
darkness.
Austin.
Darkness falls in Austin.
Yeah. Daylight savings. Who? The sun has set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. This isn't the, you know, indie band festival that I grew up with.
It's Blake Lively wearing a 1950s pleather dress and Anna Kendrick staring at the floor and Rust being released.
Yeah, this is dark.
This dark days.
Dark times.
Yeah.
And we'll take a little break on that and we'll come back. And speaking of dark days, we'll recap episode 2 of The Baldwins, which pretty much exclusively focuses on the Rust trial.
These girls are having a break.
All good.
All good.
Okay. A good pussycat.
All right. And we're back. Okay. So episode 2 of The Baldwins, like we said, we watched this one together in horror and laughter.
Mm-hmm.
My big takeaway was she really let the accent go all over the place on this one.
Listen, and I don't blame her. I mean, who amongst us hasn't gone in and out of an accent when our husband's OCD is getting so bad? And then also, like, the stuff that's happening, like, a day before the trial, like, it's so bipolar. Like, it's so, you know what it is? It's all manic. It's already so manic, but this is, like, especially, like, the mania, and we have, like, just, like, it's just insanity, and then crash.
Just so crazy that they, like, you know, because, like, I feel like they could have gotten a reality show a while ago, but Alec was too good to do it, and now he's only doing it because he's like, well, this way I can tell my side of the story.
And also because they're going to get paid, and he's...
And he needs the money, right? But it's like to be cramming it in right before the... So it's like, you know, clearly a lot of this is very staged. Like, okay, you know, we're going to have cameras in the house today, and it's going to be you guys, you know, getting the kids packed up to camp. And
Carmen's not going to camp.
But Carmen's not going to camp.
Carmen's too old for camp. She's 10.
Yeah, wild. But yeah, it's just so, it's like, why would you do this? It's like, it's so important. The whole theme of this episode, it's so important for the kids to spend time with him.
And it's their anniversary.
But then this is the time you were like, oh, it's so important. But you brought cameras into your home with your 7 kids. So it's like, oh, he might be gone forever. And this is our special time. So we need cameras to record it all.
And he's shoveling shit and they're eating horse carrots.
They've got to be under the stress of having a production in their house.
And
it's just like
pizza on the floor. Carmen's watching the baby. They're making pasta together, her and the baby.
It's so crazy. Anyway, the episode starts with zooming in on dog shit on the floor. And then the kids are at camp and the baby's with the nanny. So Carmen makes because, you know, God forbid we use, you know, lotion, a honey and coffee mask and puts it on
her
Alan.
Father, who's 7 days out from trial.
And then because they've got to pretend to do these shenanigans for the camera.
She's got to wash her father's face with the coffee and honey.
And then also, like, the way that Ilaria and Alec brag during this part about Carmen being the third person in their marriage.
Because they really do talk about Like, that's their anniversary is coming up, and it's going to be, they talk about it's going to be me, you, and Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen's like, what are we doing for this year's anniversary, guys? It's like,
just insane. And then we get to other parts of the show and episode, and Carmen is having to tell her mom gift ideas for her mom and dad's anniversary. And it's weird. Carmen is so young. She is 10.
Yeah.
She's so young.
Yeah. But then it's like in her confessionals, she's in a full beat explaining full beat, like,
big hoops.
I like being the oldest because, you know, I get like a lot of alone time with my mom and dad, but I don't like it because I also have to watch my siblings all the time. And it's like,
yeah, she does. It's like her and the baby, and they're literally rolling pasta dough, and then they eat the pasta with soy sauce. Like, it's just like so crazy.
Bizarre. She also talks about Alec exactly like Ilaria does.
And Ilaria also says, like, she's a mini me. She really is just like, she's like another Ilaria.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Alec explains almost proudly that after he put his first daughter, Ireland, through a nasty 6-year custody battle, that's why.
Because of Kim, right? No, he didn't say Kim. He doesn't even say ex-wife. He just says because of her mother.
Because of her mother.
Like, we don't know who mother is.
Yeah, but that's why Carmen is his favorite, and Carmen knows that she's his favorite too. And he and Ireland are cool now, but she's not part of the family.
And he says that she's not in the fold, but like she's not in the fold, but she is not technically one of the pack, like their sister.
Yeah, it's just like,
you know, she sees them. She is like technically like all of their sisters. It's like, my God.
But I don't count her.
It's like nicer when you called her ungrateful pig.
Yeah, it's him literally saying, yeah, it's nice to have Carmen because she's basically like Ireland too.
She's what Ireland I like more. Ireland. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Ireland just wear hoops?
Yeah, exactly. And Ilaria is worried about Carmen because Carmen worries. And then she tells like a lot of, I can't even remember, like, extensive stories about that. Like, oh yeah. And like Carmen the other day, she came up to me and she said, oh, you know, is this the last time I'll see Daddy? Maybe I should plan a special goodbye. Like, you know, I was like, first of all, yikes. Whoa.
And yeah, then, like, he's not going off to war, okay?
A special goodbye
for Daddy. Like, please, no, like, let's edit this part out.
Yeah, and just also, like, elaborate made-up stories that, like, Carmen has given no indication of
having. When you see Carmen interacting with Alec, much like Ilaria, she doesn't really seem to give a shit that he's there.
No.
She's like, I will appease you and we'll do this little activity, but I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
and she does not give a fuck.
Yeah, she's like, he's an old boomer who loves me.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like, you're old and it's weird, and I'm going to put coffee on your face, and it looks like blackface. And this is the opening of the episode.
Yes. So then the kids come home from camp and they have pizzas, which are frisbeed by the children.
This is the other thing that you can tell that this entire family has never acted like they've never interacted with a pizza. With pizza or a pizza box. No one knows how to hold a pizza box in this home. So as soon as like the pizza's delivered from the pizza guy, immediately all of the slices fall on the floor. There's like 6 boxes of pizza. Nobody knows how to pick up the pizza boxes. The kids are eating pizza off the floor. Then they put it back in the box. Then Ilaria is trying to carry that. She carries a pizza box like it's a kid on her hip.
Yeah.
Instead of just like holding a box.
Then the other two. And so it's like they're at an angle. So clearly all of the pizza has flopped and folded in on itself. And she's like, here you go.
Pizza. Yeah, like it's like, you know, it's like whatever, kids eat pizza, you know, kids eat food off the floor all the time, but it is funny that they put all of the pizza like that, like the slices that fell it on the floor, they put them all in one box, and that was a box that Alec ate out of. He's like, this is my pizza.
Well, he's like bitching about getting shit on his shirt. He's such a boomer.
My God, yeah. He was like, this is my favorite shirt. It's like, oh my, this is your... Okay, and the other thing that keeps happening in this episode, every 5 minutes we see, okay, like 6 days out from trial, 4 days out from trial, 2 days. And just like the weird things they're doing when this man has to fly across the country for a like manslaughter trial.
Also, it's like, what suspense do you think you're building when the charges are dismissed? So right. Why are we doing a countdown for something that we ultimately, and like, what if he never comes home? We know he does.
Yeah, because this is the other thing that they're talking about. So it also, yeah. So it, like we explained, it is their anniversary. So in the midst of all of this chaos, they gift each other their anniversary gifts, and the kids are all around. It's noisy. So like Ilaria tries giving him a silk handkerchief?
A silk with like St. Christopher, patron saint of travelers.
It's supposed to protect him. He couldn't understand it because the kids were screaming. He couldn't give her his gift, and she kind of walked away with all the kids. Like, it was chaos, and he looked really sad and just annoyed. He looked annoyed.
But, I mean, my thing was, why did they even bring the kids into it? It was supposed to be them and Carmen, couple.
Yeah, actually, and just, like, do it when they all go to bed. I don't know. He finally does give her, like, pearls and then pearl earrings or something, and he's like, you probably won't even like these, but I like these, but women your age don't even have class or taste. But my generation did, so I got you earrings that are for an old woman. She didn't like them.
She did not like. Well, she put them in, though.
But then she took them out.
But my thing is, like, it was it's obviously so ugly to hear from Alec, because it's like he's just such a misogynist and he's been like kind of trying to hide it. But she like shits on him all the time. I think right. They kind of get off on it. You know, like she's like in the first episode, she's like, I do believe that age is not just a number. It's very important.
But then she'll be like, here's examples about how it really does affect our marriage.
Yeah, and because he's so old and I'm so young with my, you know, hot, tight twat, you know, is very like what she's always saying. It's like, and he's an old floppy dick loser, you know, they don't right. like each other. Right. So then also we see Ilaria go to a friend's house.
Oh, my God.
It's clearly like an Airbnb. An Airbnb. Of like a guy who is wildly uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, not at all empathetic, but he's her best friend. I don't even know what his name was.
She's and just staring at her blank-faced as she's like...
Blank-faced, and they're each drinking, like, goblets of... It's like a goblet of rosé.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I don't know whether to go to the trial or not. Like,
yeah, it's like they have to fly out in 24 hours. She's like, I don't know if I fly to New Mexico where my husband's on, like, trial for manslaughter or stay and watch the kids.
She's like, it's so hard because, you know, if I do go, then they'll say I'm a bad mother. But if I don't go, they'll say I'm a bad wife. It's like, girl, you're worried about what people are going to say about you. Like, they're already all hate you. Like, everyone says that all the time. Oh, so all of the scenes with them and their kids, you know what it reminds me of? Humble brag. My family was on the news in Dallas News in like 2000, and much like Carmen, I was, you know, taking care of all the little kids. So it was like about how Dallas was going to start needing to use area codes. We had to use the 214 area code to dial out. So they kind of like to make this like a big story. They were like, they went to like to our block and they're like, look at these parents. They're already so busy with all of these crazy kids. How are they going to have time to dial the like three numbers at the beginning? And so it's like, you know, my job was like, okay, try to like corral the kids, but kids, you can be as crazy as you want, go nuts, because we're trying to be like, this cannot stand, we can't have these three numbers, these kids are too crazy. It seems like that is the direction that the producer has given every time they're all in the room, because all the kids are like flipping the bird screaming and it's like, you know,
that is, and
they're not even getting mad. It's like they're intentionally like, look how hard our life is. It's chaos.
We're falling apart. Yeah. Now our 6-year-olds are in high chairs.
When really, I think when anything happens, they're just, you know, they could be like, hey, nanny.
We have to get them out. Yeah, exactly. So,
but that's the vibes it gives me, is this choreographed chaos.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. But it ends on, you know,
a
loving note.
Well, because I think Alec's falling apart completely.
Well, yeah, he is falling apart. He's
talking about his career's
oh,
done.
Yeah. Well, we skipped the part. He does leave for like a day to go to L.A. to for an AI thing, which is basically like he's selling his likeness to any future video games, any future and anything that they might need him in, which like there's like a dystopian movie about Robin Wright with this sending over your likeness. But it's like that's like as an actor, it's like he must be desperate, like where it's he's like he's, you know, because that means that they won't hire him for any of that stuff. They'll just use his likeness. It's just a buyout. And he's in this pathetic mocap suit and they're like zooming in on his face, his bloated face, pouting.
Yeah.
He's got like little red dots all over his body and he's like, I burnt the toast again. And like just doing all these different combinations of words so that they can have, you know, this animated Alec Baldwin say whatever they want, whatever, you know, in the future. And then it cuts to him in confessional bitching about like all of his friends abandon him after this, this pieces of shit.
No one, the phone not calling. I used to be able to be selective with my work. I can't do it anymore. It's over for me.
And then he talks about like his career and, you know, how he decided to do, you know,
the one time he gets emotional.
The one time he gets emotional, he's talking about doing Hunt for Red October and he does an impression of Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
And then he starts crying.
Yeah.
He's like,
he was such a great man. I couldn't believe I was standing there and I got to be in scenes with this one. It's the only time he sheds a single tear.
That's so narcissistic to, for your own impression to bring you to tears.
To bring your, like, to finally evoke an emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, damn, I really brought him to life.
I really felt like a Scotsman.
Oh, he's such a piece of shit. Anyway, at the end of the episode, Ilaria decides she is going to go to the trial with the baby, which clearly she'd already decided that. This is all fake. Clearly their lawyer was like, if you go with the baby, that's going to be maximum sympathy. Yeah. But they pretend this is like, you know, the obstacle in the episode. It's very contrived, but, you know, it's a rough show, but it's just wonderful to get those glimpses inside their mingy little minds.
Right. And their home in the Hamptons is pretty.
It's nice. It's
and
nice.
The pizza looked good, even the pizza on the floor. I was like, I'd eat that floor.
Agreed.
Pizza.
And I'm not a margarita pizza gal, but that mashed up margarita pizza looked
good.
Yeah,
no, that pizza looked really good.
Okay, well, this is the end of the episode. Let us know if you want us to continue to cover the Baldwins. I think it is probably going to be all downhill from here, but we are down if you guys request it. And then next week, we will have a very special guest and we'll get back to some Roni coverage, covering a very requested, I think misunderstood Roni housewife, Kelly Ben-Simone. I think we'll get to the bottom of some of the mysteries of Kelly, if I have anything to say about it. And then, of course, follow us on TikTok at Bravo_breakdowns and on Instagram, same. And then if you are not watching this on YouTube, follow us on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you are, here are boobs. We show you at the end of every episode as incentive.
Hey, this is actually like kind of a lot for me.
Oh, yeah. The color to shame. And then, of course, we end every episode with an oral exam. It's a 1-minute essay on a pop culture topic of your choice. Michelle, you ready to boogie?
Yeah.
All right. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove you guys Okay, there's like a video going around TikTok. I saw it on Reddit. I guess like her and Timothy were at a tennis match and whatever. She sees a camera, tries to grab his face and kiss him. He's kind of like, I don't want to do it. You know, whatever. Like he's like watching the game. So he's not wanting to kiss. And anyway, so everyone's freaking out being like, do you see how much he hates her? Do you see how much he doesn't want to be with her? Like he's trapped in this relationship. Anyway, she looks really hot. You guys, who cares? Like this is like, everyone's been in this situation where it's like, you're going in for kiss. You're being whatever. You don't want to do it. Like, this is like a moment. It's a moment in time. Leave her alone. They're in a relationship. This is the dumbest thing that people are mad that they're in a relationship. I really don't want to hear about it anymore. And time. I wanted to do that impression. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. 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 Chris Cooper?
Colfer?
Colfer. Chris Colfer. Cooper is American Beauty.
Right. I can do that one too. Okay. Or was that Kevin Spacey?
Mm.
Kaiser Sose.
Yep. Both coming out as gay. Gay to so gay. Kaiser so gay.
That's so gay. So gay.
Coming out as gay to cover up crimes.
Crimes.
Both the Chris Cooper character and Spacey himself. Okay. Okay, I was gonna do a more serious one, but no, that was so lighthearted that I'm gonna do a fun one. It's still kind of serious. Okay.
I just talked about Kevin Spacey.
That's true. Okay, we're in a dark place. In this essay, I will prove Whitney Cummings was a judge on the roast episode of Drag Race. Now, Drag Race has some of the best editors in the biz, y'all who don't watch. They edited out another drag queen who was the front runner, who was going to win the season. She was had a bunch of accusations of being a sex criminal, a predator, and they edited her out entirely. And the season is still really good. I mean, she's in every episode. She won a ton of them. They did a great job. They did it like in weeks. So why wouldn't you edit out Whitney Cummings, homophobic, Joe Rogan, like all comedians are truth tellers who should say the N-word ass. Oh. Now that she has like, you know, gone on a homophobic rant and gone full like alt-right rot brains. Why won't just take her out of the episode? We don't need her. Take her out.
We don't need her. Yeah. She's just, you know what? Here's the thing. And it's like, I never understood how she was so successful. Like,
I don't get it.
I just like, she's just, I've never laughed at anything that she's ever said. Has Mm-mm. great skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not for me. She's not funny to me, but she did do that. She went on the CNN with Anderson and Andy on New Year's, and she did her like roast of 2024. And one of the things that she was talking, she talked about was like fluoride in the water and alluding to like, it is bad for you. And like, why hasn't the government been talking about it? Which, by the way, they are now. But they didn't before because it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's.
RFK has got her back.
Yeah, let's. Can we just. Okay. It's okay. Women taking down women segment, but it's time to take.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. We've let Whitney Cummings slide for a long time because it's like we were women in stand-up. We understand you kind of, you know, I don't really judge. I didn't used to judge them for like having to condone very problematic men to get ahead because otherwise you will not be a professional stand-up comic. But now things have changed. Things have changed. So, and also, she needs to, you know, it's like your head doesn't have to be so far up Joe Rogan's ass that you like can taste the alpha brain.
Right.
You know, stop being red pilled. You freak.
I know that she's probably about to move to Austin. It's going to be her and Joe Rogan.
Liz Platt.
Theo Vaughn. I think he lives there now. And who's that other dude? The fucking, he's a real, he was.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah.
I have a story about that.
I told you, dark days.
Dark days.
Dark days in Austin. Hey, America, do me a simple favor. Get rid of these fools. Part two.
May.
Bye. What was the story?